Take your Bible and turn to the book of Nehemiah, please. Nehemiah. How many of you all love the book of Nehemiah? I mean, I confess to you that I love the book of Nehemiah. And the Old Testament, God said he wrote it for our learning, for our admonition, and it'll help us, amen. And it's applicable even today. I want to read a scripture this morning from chapter number 2 and preach a little bit out of the book of Nehemiah and what's on my heart. If you'd stand in reverence to the Word of God with me, Nehemiah chapter number 2. I want to begin reading in verse number 11. My text will come from verse number 17. And one preacher said this, and I think it's important to listen to the words. He said, if you have unhindered access to the throne of grace, pray for us. He said, Pastor, why would you not just say pray for us? Because the Word of God said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if you have unhindered access to the throne of grace, you know that we need your prayers, that there are those in this building today that need your prayers. And God will hear those prayers and answer them. Verse 11, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night and some of the few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up by night to the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priest, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Verse 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God that was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn, despised us, and said, what is this that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, I love this. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. If correctly read, that's verse 11 through verse 20. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, this morning that we know that our Father, that even in these days, our Lord, the Word of God is the answer for the problems that we face in our world. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you'd make the message, our Father, real in our hearing. Help us today, Lord. Lord, that we might glean truth that would transform our very lives. Lord, if there's one here today, and we know, Lord, according to testimonies, there are that don't know you. Oh, dear God, speak to that heart. Lord, I'm afraid that some are listening for her thunder tones and missing the still small voice of God. I pray, dear Father, Lord, you speak to hearts. Help us, our Lord. Help the Christian today, Lord, to be excited and understand that, God, we're living on the threshold of the greatest event that's ever going to take place, Lord, in the future, the coming of our Lord Jesus. I pray now, Father, you'll help us, and God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like to preach and speak to you for a little while on this subject, in times of distress. The Word of God said here in verse 17, "Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in." I'll say something this morning. I want you to think about the parallels in what I'm going to be preaching as far as what's going on in our world today. But I'm telling you, beloved, if you do not know that our nation and our world is in a time of distress, then you don't have your eyes open. You need to understand, beloved, listen, that God is on the throne, but we're in trouble in our country. We're in trouble in the world that we live in. You say, "Pastor, that don't give us much hope." Well, it should. You see, Nehemiah, when he saw the trouble, he saw someone that was bigger than the trouble. And Nehemiah was a leader. Nehemiah was a leader that knew that he needed a leader. Leaders need leaders. Amen. And Nehemiah was not looking horizontally for his leadership, but he was looking vertically for someone to lead him. And his name is the Lord. Amen. Now, this morning, this is about 1,000 years after the time of Moses, 400 years before the birth of Christ. Jerusalem is lying in waste. The nation of Israel and the Jewish people, they're in a desperate state. You know what I'm afraid of in America? I'm afraid that we look at Ukraine and we say they're in a desperate state, and we miss the desperate state that we're already in. Beloved, listen, all that some people are doing today, listen to me, in our country is crying because gas is over $4 a gallon, because diesel fuel is approaching $5 a gallon. I'm going to tell you something today. I didn't have to worry about a rocket hitting my car on the way to church this morning. I didn't go to sleep last night worried about a bomb falling in our neighborhood or on our house. But I tell you this, beloved, there are people in the world that don't know from one minute to the next. And honestly, we don't either. Our life is but a vapor. We're here for a little while, and then we're going to go away. Amen. We're either going to go to heaven, where God's people go, or we're going to leave here and go to that awful place called hell. I was watching one of the news clips of a video where a Russian helicopter, was shot down. And they said that the person that fired the rocket made this statement, "Welcome to hell." I'm telling you, beloved, your crane right now is a great deal of hell on earth. Amen. But I'm telling you, when I saw it, before I ever heard what that man said, this is the first thing that went through my mind. Whoever was operating that helicopter. You say, "Pastor, you should rejoice in that thing going down." I do rejoice in it going down. But more than likely, there's a man, if you believe what they believe, amen, that lift his eyes in the region of the damned that very moment. Amen. You see, here Nehemiah is talking about a time of distress. The city of Jerusalem was completely conquered by the Babylonians, and the once glorious temple of Solomon was destroyed when they conquered Jerusalem. Beloved, they deported almost everyone from the region for some 70 years. Now there's a remnant that's gone back. They figure only about 2% of the Israelites, the Jewish people, went back. You know what I believe? I believe there's something to be said of those men, listen, that have been living in free countries like Poland. And yet, beloved, listen, they see what's going on in their homeland, and they willingly are standing up and going back. I'm telling you, beloved, it's speaking to pastor's heart. I'm seeing more courage amen, than I've seen in a long time in our world. I'm seeing people, Brother Palmer, standing in the airport and standing in the bus stations holding up a sign, we'll take three, we'll take four. They're going to take them home, Brother Bob, and feed them. And I believe with all of my heart, people with that kind of heart, sometimes they're going to take them home and set them down and tell them about Jesus. Amen. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say in the lesson that God wants to teach us today, there's great hope even in times of distress. Amen. You can remember, beloved, listen, some of the things our country's been through in the past. Some of our young people know nothing about it. Amen. I didn't live through World War I and World War II. Some of you all did live through part of those times. You remember the battles. You remember, beloved, how the American people came together. They were not divided. They were not saying we're blacks and we're whites and we're yellows and we're reds, but we're Americans. And I believe God can use this mess that we're in to help us once again to look beyond what we see horizontally to Him that lives in the heavens. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Some of these faithful Jews were raised up to places of prominence in the government. You think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Esther was made queen in the court of the Persian king. I'm telling you, beloved, even in times of great distress, God has His young'uns where He wants them. Amen. I tell you, when I said that just now, I'm glad I can stand here today with Judgment Day honesty, say there's a lot of things I don't know. But I'm glad I'm standing where God wants me to stand. And if He comes right now, I'm glad I'm doing what God wants me to do. Amen. I don't believe there's anything more important in the world than the will of God for one's life. And Nehemiah was such a man that he was understanding what the will of God was for his life. Oh, beloved friend, I appreciate the Lord. Nehemiah begins 15 years after the book of Ezra ends. Almost 100 years after the first captives came back to the promised land. 150 years after the city of Jerusalem was absolutely destroyed and turned into rubble. Most people would have went by Jerusalem and said, I don't think so. A lot of them would have said, ain't no way. But God raised up a leader. Amen. They said, hey, I'm looking beyond the rubble. I'm looking beyond the distress. I'm looking beyond the enemy. I'm looking beyond those that are making fun of us. And I'm looking to the God of heaven that can do something about this mess that we're in. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. Some of the things, I believe this with all of my heart, that we need to be doing in our country, we're so slow to do them because we're bowing down to a bunch of tree huggers. Are you listening to me? Amen. I tell you, Brother Steve, I told somebody the other day, once upon a time I was a tree hugger. You say, what happened? My tree stand slipped. Amen. If your tree stand on your deer hunting, Michael's grinning, if it ever slips, you'll hug the tree. Amen. It sure beats hitting the ground, don't it? Amen. But I'm telling you, we're in a mess in our country. Amen. Because we're bowing down to just a few. Just a few. Won't look at the solution. Amen. Won't look at the things that God wants us to look at. We won't see that unity until, beloved, we understand that even in a time of great distress, God is helping His people. I'll give you some things this morning, just simple things, and we'll go home. I hope and pray to God. We called a special prayer meeting last Sunday night for the people of Ukraine. I hope and pray to God that you've prayed all week. I hope and pray to God that you'll keep praying. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? Look at it with me here, just a couple of things quickly, and we'll go to the house. In a time of distress, first of all, we need somebody that's willing to weep in a time of distress. Can I tell you something, beloved? A lot of people associate weeping with weakness. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, on the authority of God's Word, Nehemiah was not a weak man. I'm going to tell you on the authority of God's Word, my Lord Jesus was not a weak man. But when he stood there and looked over Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I've gathered you together. He wept over the city. Jeremiah was not a weak man, but he was the weeping prophet of God. And when it's a time of distress, we need somebody that will weep before the Lord with a broken heart. Look what the Bible said here. And it came to pass, verse 4 of chapter 1, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. You know, I never thought about this, beloved, but there's a time in your life, listen, there's a time in your life when you can't stand, when your legs are so weak, you hear such news. Have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard somebody make a phone call and they'll ask somebody, are you sitting down? Because the news that they're about to share with them, it's going to cut their legs out from under them. Amen. They're going to be so weak. It's possible that when Nehemiah heard this, it was not, beloved, that he chose to sit down, but that he had to sit down. Amen. Because he could no longer stand at the news that he heard. It came to pass when I heard these words. What did he hear? The Bible said the remnant are left in captivity. Verse 3. In the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. You know, some, listen, I'll say this. Most would say, well, that's going on over yonder. I'm doing real good right here with the king. It's no business of mine, but not Nehemiah. Nehemiah, beloved, listen, was affected in his heart by what he heard was going on over yonder. And we're in trouble as God's people if we can't be affected in our heart by what's going on over yonder. I watched Brother Preston carry Ember in this morning. And little embers are being blown up every day. People chance and play ball like you do are getting their legs blown off every day because of wickedness. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, that's none of my business. Well, it's mine. I know the God of heaven. And those people are in great distress. And we need somebody to weep in this generation. Most people won't weep until it touches their home. I tell you, beloved, the Bible said he mourned certain days, and he fasted, and he prayed before the God of heaven. In times of distress, number one, we need somebody that's willing to weep. Secondly, we need somebody that's willing to wait. Brother Don, we called a prayer meeting on a Sunday night. It's not just about one Sunday night. You say, Pastor, where did you get this in the Scripture? This is going on, beloved, in the month of December. If you look at it there and you study it, it's going on in the month of December. You say, hey, Pastor, how long is he praying? Till April. Do you understand, beloved, listen, that the walls were built in 52 days, but there was 4 months of praying. 4 months of praying and no doubt 4 months of fasting. You see, beloved, listen, the president of Russia, I don't even really want to say his name, but he thought those people would cave in and roll over the first day. And this is what, the 11th or the 12th day. I'm telling, we need to pray every day and be willing to wait on God. Amen. And we're willing to wait in times of distress. I'll say this. There have been a lot of pastors in times of distress that weren't willing to wait. And they made a move and got out of the will of God. Been a lot of moms and dads that have not been willing to wait in times of distress. And they made a move and they got out of the will of God. When people say, Pastor, I just don't know what to do. I'll tell you what you better do. You better wait on God. And you better not do anything till God gives you clear direction. Amen. I believe one thing with all of my heart, beloved, that we're missing this in this generation, the patience to wait upon the Lord. We want our microwave prayers answered in 30 seconds. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, some things are worth waiting for. And I believe there's a lot on the line. Here Nehemiah said, that's my city. That's my people. And beloved, listen, he goes in before the king. You can read it here in the text. And he can't hide it. I don't believe Nehemiah was trying to paint some superficial fake face, but he can't hide it. The king said, this is nothing but sadness of heart. What he heard in his ears had affected his heart. Amen. Listen, his body was still there in Persia, but his heart was over there in Jerusalem. God help us in times of distress to be willing to weep and to be willing to wait. Thirdly, this morning, turn with me, if you will, in chapter number 4. In chapter number 4. In verse number 1, the Bible said, it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. And he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. This is amazing to me. Can I tell you that in Russia right now, there's a lot of people that are mad. A lot of them didn't have nothing to do with calling the shots, but they're losing their dollar bills. They're losing their wealth, and they're mad. Even the one calling the shots, I believe, is mad. He's upset. Some way or another, he convinced himself that the Ukrainian people wanted to be under his quote-unquote leadership. That's not leadership. Say amen. I'll tell you what leadership is. You offer him a ride out of the country, and he said, I don't need a ride, I need ammunition. That's what leadership is. I'm going to stand with my people, and if necessary, I'll die with my people. Nehemiah is not running from the work. He's running to the work. Notice what he said. When Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He took great indignation. He mocked the Jews. He spake before the brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? No, it's going to take 52 days. Amen. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. I saw a fox yesterday. No, it was Friday. No, excuse me, it was Thursday. I lose track of the days now. But I did see a fox. It was going to cross the road in front of me, and it changed its mind. It turned around and headed back towards the wood. Little old fox about that long, little old red fox, a tail longer than he was. Smart fox, amen. He said, I'm no match for that car that preacher's in, amen. I think I'll go the other way. But that fox... Brother Steve, we could take some of y'all help me down there at the house, some rocks around the pond. You could stack 3 or 4 of them up in a circle, and that fox couldn't. All it done run across them. It couldn't knock them down. They're mocking them. What do these feeble Jews? What they're building? Why the fox run into that? It would tear it down. Watch what the Bible said. Hear, O God, look at verse 4. For we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own heads. And give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Look at verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. Now listen to me. There's more to church building than work. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you better listen, for we're His workmanship. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God ordained, beloved, that when a man gets saved by the grace of God, he'd get up off of that altar and walk by faith. And beloved, listen, I wouldn't trust the faith that does not work to take me to heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. But the kind of faith that saves an individual will cause him to go to work for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Brother Palmer came this morning and he's saying thank you to the church. And it's not just us. Hundreds of other churches do the same thing. In our church, because there's some here that don't know, 30%. Is it 30 or 35, Brother Lowell? I can't remember now. Is it 35% of everything that comes in the offering goes to missions? And then on Wednesday night, that wasn't good enough. We started taking up an offering on Wednesday night so we could expand the missions program. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, this church understands that this book will make the difference in the lives of people around the world. And we understand our responsibility to get the message out. We've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And we're in the business of spreading the tidings all around. Amen. Jesus saves. Yeah. Jesus saves. They had a mind to work. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you're all stirred up about times of distress. I watch the news every once in a while. Brother Steve, it thrills me. You said, them people over there ain't got much. They're taking the rubble and welding it together. You say, well, that's World War I technology. It don't matter if it'll punch a hole in that diesel tank and that tank when it runs across it. Say amen. 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 I don't know what you hear, how much of it is true or not, but I've heard that some of the people say, why is that convoy, why ain't it moving? This is what I've heard. Some of them shot holes in their own tanks. And beloved, they've intercepted text messages where there's young men in that convoy that don't even know they were going to war. They were deceived. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a deceiver in the world. And Putin's not the only one of them. Amen. There's Satan. And he's deceiving. He's telling people some more convenient time. When God said now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You have no promise of tomorrow. Someone that's willing to work. I used to weld for a living. And it just blesses me to see those guys bringing that steel. When this all started, they were digging through the trash to get bottles to pour gasoline, put the rag in. They call them Molotov cocktails. But just a few days went by, Brother Steve, and the people that are in the beer industry said, you don't have to hunt through the trash anymore. We'll give you our bottles. Say amen. 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 By the way, beloved, it's just a different kind of gas. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. God is on the throne. We need somebody in times of distress that's willing to weep. Somebody that's willing to wait. Somebody that's willing to work. Then I'll close with this morning. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible just across the page in chapter number 4. The Bible said in verse number 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. To me, it's unbelievable how this text fits what's going on in our world today. There's much rubbish so that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You see, beloved, you better realize this. There's an adversary that hates your home, that hates Bible Way Baptist Church, that hates freedom, that hates America. Beloved, listen to me. The adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. What you're looking at right here, you could title it against all odds. But can I tell you something? The odds wasn't looking too good for David either. When he went down there in the valley with that giant. If you're looking at it through the eyes of a man, Goliath said, come unto me. I'm going to tell you something. He bit off more than he could chew.
Amen.
He didn't realize who was living in that shepherd boy's heart.
Amen.
He didn't realize who had that shepherd boy's back.
Amen.
He didn't realize that shepherd boy had already tangled with a lion and a bear.
Yes.
And he didn't realize that the God of heaven was fixing to prove himself. In times of distress, beloved, look here with it in the scripture. They had swords and spears and bows. I looked and rose up, said to the nobles, the rulers, the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember, here's a leader. Nehemiah, don't stand up, Brother Don, and say, remember me. Look over here, boys, you're talking about a leader. Look here. He said, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. There was enough people. There had to be something, Brother Gary, special in the hearts of 2% of the people that said, we're going to leave prosperity, the land of prosperity, and we're going home. Even though home, Brother Don, was laying in shambles, was leveled with the ground. And I believe a leader stirs up that. Say amen. He's saying, listen, boys, y'all have seen God work on our behalf in the past. I don't know this. I can speak where the Bible speaks, but my mind, I like to let it run every once in a while. He might have said, remember when Moses was backed up against the Red Sea? Remember when it looked like there was no hope? Do you remember, boys, what God did for us then? He's still God. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't know that he said that, but whatever he said, watch what the Bible said. Be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Here's the last point in the message. And fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. A man that won't fight for his family, they ain't much about that man.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, what are they willing to do in a time of distress? They're not only willing to work, but they're willing to war. Brother Wayne, I think about men like you. Brother Wayne Sanders back there in the back. Brother Jim. All the veterans in the building, stand up right now. If you're a veteran, would you please stand up? I want to say I thank my God. There's somebody that was willing to war. There's somebody that was willing to war. Somebody that said, that flag's worth fighting for. Somebody that said, that Bible's worth fighting for. The house of God's worth fighting for. Our freedom is worth fighting for. Some went by choice. And some went because Uncle Sam chose. But they all went. And let me give you something. You need to think about it. Next time somebody wants to light that flag on fire, some didn't come back. Some came back and they'll never be the same.
Amen.
Some, beloved, listen, will never be the same in their body. And there's countless, probably thousands more that'll never be the same in their mind.
Amen.
Because of what they've seen. Because of what they've heard. There's something different about what's going on today.
Amen.
Brother Randall, the world is seeing it.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't have to believe the lie of somebody over there. They're seeing what's taking place.
Right.
They determined they're going to give a corridor for people to get out and then start shelling it. You say, well, preacher, they lied. Hello? That's what they've been doing for decades.
Amen.
That's all the devil knows how to do. He's a liar.
Amen.
The father of a lie.
Yeah.
The last thing, they need to be willing to war. He said, fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, your wives, your houses. Early on, I think it may have been last Sunday morning, Brother Steve. They were interviewing Franklin Graham. Samaritan's Purse was already in those NATO countries, setting up hospitals, setting up places to feed some people. I don't know what all they can do, but I'll tell you this. I believe they're doing what they can, Brother Michael.
Amen. Amen.
And whoever the news, I don't remember who the commentator was, the news commentator said, what do you need? Brother Don, the first thing he said, we need prayer. That's a leader. In other words, beloved, listen, Brother Graham wasn't sticking his chest out and saying, look at our ministry and look what we can do. He was saying to us through the news media, will you pray? God is asking us this morning. He said, Pastor, what does prayer have to do with war? It has everything to do with warfare. We might not can fight, beloved, with our guns. I'll say this, though some of us have thought about it. Would I get an amen there?
Amen.
But we can fight on our knees. And we can talk to the God of heaven in times of distress. God needs somebody to weep. God needs somebody that will say, I'm not expecting this overnight, but God, I'm willing to just keep weeping and keep praying and wait on you. God, I'm willing to work. Really, we ought to find something, some avenue. Brother Steve, you're the man that would be some avenue where we could put some finances and know that it's not going into the pockets of people that are corrupt, but it'd be going to the people that need it. And we ought to be willing to war. Let me tell you something. I am afraid. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. Was it Ronald Reagan that said something like this? Freedom is one generation away from being extinct. Is he the one? My memory's not real good. One generation, brother. Lowell. Wouldn't it be sad, Brother Lowell, if we were one generation away from no heartbeat for missions? No heartbeat, Brother Bob, for the gospel. No heartbeat for prayer. No heartbeat for God, the God of heaven. Nehemiah said, He will prosper us in times of distress. I'm praying, I got it in my heart this morning, that not just one Sunday night service, but service after service after service after service, as we wait on God, that people will come in this altar. Not just in this altar. And I'll say this. Don't be a hypocrite. If you ain't praying at home and you ain't got no burden whatsoever, don't be a hypocrite. But if your heart is broke at what you see, what would be wrong? I believe our Father would be pleased, amen, to see us just coming and praying and begging God to do the work that's needed to be done. They're doing all they can. And by the way, beloved, I believe we ought to do what we can and then trust God to do what we can't.
Amen.
A lot of people say, well, let's just trust God, and they're not willing to do what they can. But we need to do what we can and trust God to do what we can. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your people. God, they've been so attentive. I realize over in Nehemiah chapter number 8, when they found the Word of God, The people stood up and they were attentive to the Word of God. Our people are precious, Lord, to me and to you. I pray, God, we'd enter in to this warfare, this spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. I pray, dear God, that you'd move on behalf of the Ukrainian people. I pray, God, you'd move in our families. Help us not to be complacent. Help us not to compromise in these days. Help us, our Father, as the people of God, to do what we can to be a blessing to the people of Ukraine. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, dear God, that we can know that you're seated at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. God, sometimes we don't even know what we ought to pray for. But He, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For those in our service today that do not yet know you, Lord, as Savior, I pray, God, that they'd understand that the things going on in the world are a warm-up to that great tribulation hour that's coming upon the world. When it'd be too late, our Lord, too late to be saved. God, I pray that now you'd speak to hearts, that hearts would listen, would respond, would understand. You love them. You died for them. You rose again the third day. One day, God, will stand before you, either on the right side of Calvary or on the wrong side. Help us, we pray.